Dr. Christie's office.
The Vaseline Program, the only program in radio where the audience writes the script. And tonight, it is Decatur, Illinois that contributes the winner. And the prize money goes to Frances Hayes for her play, One for the Money. Jean Hersholt is starred as Dr. Christian, and Rosemary DeCamp plays Judy Price. Men, Dry Scalp is a thief. Yes, Dry Scalp robs you of an important asset in business and social life. Good-looking hair. If you have dry, unruly hair, if you're bothered with loose dandruff, remember, these are signs of dry scalp. Start using Vaseline Hair Tonic today and check dry scalp quickly, effectively. Vaseline Hair Tonic actually supplements the natural scalp oils, contains no alcohol or other drying ingredients. It works with nature, not against it. Just 5 drops of Vaseline Hair Tonic a day checks dry scalp, keeps rebellious hair neatly in place. A brisk Vaseline Hair Tonic massage before each shampoo loosens dandruff and relieves itchy tightness. Yes, Vaseline Hair Tonic actually gives you two-way care, both scalp and hair. For a scalp that feels better and hair that looks better, that has that natural, just-combed look, try Vaseline Hair Tonic. Remember, more men use Vaseline Hair Tonic today than any other kind. Vaseline Hair Tonic. Now for tonight's play, and it begins with Dr. Christian and Judy pulling into the driveway of the lovely old Victorian place in which Miss Harriet Petticord has spent all of her 80-odd years.
Well, Judy, here we are, and what do you suppose it is this time? If I know Harriet Petticord, and I think I do, there's something in back of this impromptu dinner engagement.
Well, I haven't the slightest idea what it's all about, Dr. Christian.
Well, I suppose it's only right that I give him what this little old lady's whims after all she's done for the hospital. Well, let's go in and see.
What cooks?
Yes, what cooks.
You sit there, Judy. You, Dr. Christian, cross from me where I can see you without having to turn my head.
How have you been feeling, Miss Petticord, after your touch of the flu?
Well, I'm fit as a fiddle for a girl of 85.
85? Oh, I don't believe it, Miss Petticord.
Don't tempt me that, Judy Price. I was doddering the day you were born.
Oh.
Well, I'll get to the point. I didn't invite you to here just to sample the meager fare the meat shortage allows us. You know that, so stop looking like a couple of awestruck owls.
Frankly, Miss Petticord, I felt there was something on your mind.
I'm going to make a new will.
Oh, I should think you'd want your lawyer to...
That's a shirt of a hen, sure. Bah, this part will come later. Right now, I want you two for witnesses. And to help me with my scheme.
A
scheme? Oh. Exactly what is it this time?
If you'll let me explain, you'll find out. You're aware, and I presume that you are, since everybody in town knows my business better than I do myself. I have 3 heirs named in my present will. 2 grand-nephews, the grand-niece.
Yeah, I've heard you mention them. The niece is connected with the theater in some way, isn't she? A dancer.
I'm trying to give you the details, if you let me talk.
Oh, I'm sorry, Miss Petticord. Go ahead. I won't interrupt.
Well, I wrote to these 3 and asked them to come here tonight. But that they are not to arrive until 8:00. So that gives us another hour to get ready for them.
Oh, it's kind of a family reunion, isn't it?
In a way, yes. I told them that I need them badly. That I'm a sick woman. And that it will probably be the last time they will see me alive.
Oh, Miss Petticord, how awful.
I'm still holding my tongue. Proceed, Miss Petticord.
Of course, there isn't a grain of truth in it. Never felt better in my life. I want to get their reaction.
I'm wondering just what this scheme of yours tonight will bring. Please go on, Miss Petticord.
Well, Carol, or Coralie, something or other, as she calls herself, joined the stock company. Never amounted to anything. I haven't seen the girl in years. I have an idea she never knows where her next meal will come from. can never ask me for money because you know it would be useless. Now, about Bill, the twin brother. Before he was drafted, he was newspaper reporter. He tended to write novels, but yet I haven't noticed him setting the world afire with his talent.
Oh, but that takes time. After all, he's still young.
See, Carol and Bill are around 22, I believe. Yes, 22, because Roger, their cousin, I remember, he was six when the twins was born.
Was Roger in the service?
Roger is my favorite. His mother, my sister's daughter, died when he was born. I tried to be a mother to him. No, he's not in the service.
Gosh, what's the matter with... is it marvelous that he hasn't been drafted?
That's a wonderful question. So consider it. He's successful. He writes me without fail every week. Remembers me on all the holidays.
Oh.
Carol and Bill ignore me as though I were a poor relative instead of a rich one. Want you to know that Roger thinks so much of me that he jilted a girl one time on my account.
On your account? How extraordinary.
So, he brought her here to get my approval. I didn't like her, and frankly, I told him I didn't. So he gave her up.
What does he do, Miss Petticoat?
Oh, he's done a number of things. Well, I'll admit the boy hasn't quite found himself yet.
I bet he found himself with a defense job recently, didn't he?
How did you know?
Judy is a psychic, Mrs. Petticoat.
Now, to the part you two play in this little drama.
Oh, now, don't tell me that...
Oh, shut up and listen, Dr. Christian. You're worse than a nosy woman. You will each play your own part. My physician, my nurse. He is far enough along. Here's what we're going to do. When they arrive, you, Judy, will receive them at the door, bring them into the library where Dr. Christian will talk to them and break the news. You are to inform them that their wealthy old aunt is bankrupt. Penniless.
I was afraid there was a catch to this excellent dinner.
Oh, don't worry. You'll be paid for it. I might even make you my beneficiary before this is over. Can't tell. This is a test.
To find out how they feel about you if you have no money,
Exactly. I'm fairly certain right now.
That Roger will be your only standby?
Yes, Dr. Know-it-all. Now, be sure to elaborate on it. Say that the house and all the furnishings were to be sold at public auctions to help pay for some stock I bought on margin. Get the idea?
Yeah, I'm afraid I do.
I forgot to say that I won't be on the scene at first. I'm sick. Understand? And Dr. Christian is giving me a sleeping tablet. They can't see me till later.
Hmm.
Actually, I'll be in the little room off the library, listening carefully to the conversation. Now, time is drawing near, so let's finish dinner.
Well, for some reason or other, Miss Petticoat, I've certainly lost my appetite.
It's 8:10, Dr. Christian.
Oh, keep your fingers crossed, Judy. Maybe they won't show up.
I heard that remark, Dr. Christian. So hoping they won't, so that I might leave you some money, as I inferred. Well, I didn't mean it.
No such thing. I just don't like these put-up jobs of yours.
Oh, boy, here we go. Dr. Christian, you park yourself with a book in the library. It'll ease your nerves.
Oh, good heavens, why didn't I become a storekeeper instead of a doctor?
Hello there, and you come in. It's a lovely evening, isn't it? Here, I'll take all that. Right here into the library.
This is Dr. Christian, Miss Petticoat, isn't it?
Oh, only on my birth certificate and social security card, honey.
To my public, Carly Dane. Hello, doctor.
Good evening, my dear, and I guess this young must be your brother, Bill. Huh?
No, let me present Private Kennedy, Frank Kennedy. We met on the train, and wasn't it a coincidence when we learned that we were on the way not only to the same town, but the same house?
Oh, I should say so.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I'm Bill Petticoat's buddy at camp.
Oh, hello, Frank. There's nothing wrong with hope with Bill.
Oh, no, sir, no. He's in the clink. He was AWOL last week, so he sent me in his place.
Oh, that was thoughtful of him.
Oh, that's the kind of a good Joe he is. There's no one like him.
Oh, yes, there is. I'm his twin, remember?
So I could forget after meeting you. Oh, I almost forgot. I have a letter from Bill for his aunt. Here it is.
Oh, well, if you give it to me, I'll deliver it.
How is Aunt Harriet, anyway? She must be in pretty bad shape with a doctor and nurse on hand.
She's resting easily right now, I hope.
Gee, I've neglected that poor old soul. But she never had any use for me, so that'll have to be my alibi till a better one comes along. You know, it about knocked me for a loop to hear from her last week.
How long since you've seen your aunt, you think?
Oh, over 5 years. I ought to be beaten with a stick. Say, doctor, where's Fancy Pants?
Who?
Dia Raja. Oh, surely he chartered a plane to come and sent himself COD.
No, Roger has no idea. Judy, maybe you should go in and see about Miss Petticoat. If she's awake, you can give her the letter from Bill, huh?
Yes, doctor. Excuse me, everybody. Get that, will you, Dr. Christian?
Yes.
Yes, the Paradon is about to make his entrance, probably with fanfare. Oh, he's a first class.
I'd rather hear about you, Carol.
Oh, wouldn't it be a very pretty story, darling?
But, Carol, you called me darling.
Oh, just force of habit. That's part of theater lingo, so think nothing of it.
Oh, but I do.
Come in, young man. Carol, here's your cousin, Roger, and this is Private Kennedy, Mr. Ames.
Hello.
How do you do, Private Kennedy?
How are you?
Well, Carol, I hardly expected to find you here.
All you expect is Aunt Harriet's money.
The patient is doing fine. Right now, she's reading Bill's letter, and then she will join us.
That's a good laugh. The minute Bill finds out Aunt Harriet is sick, he breaks down and writes.
So what? He would have come if he could. At least he's in the service, and that's more than you can say. What did you do, fearless Ferdy? Puncture your own eardrums to keep out?
Oh, now, no more of that. Sit down and let me tell you something before your aunt comes in.
Miss Petticoat asked Dr. Christian to explain a few things to save her the humiliation.
Humiliation? Exactly what do you mean by that?
And your aunt, Miss Petticoat, is suffering from shock. Organically, there's nothing wrong with her. Rest and consideration is what she needs right now with a little love thrown in. I'm sorry that Bill can't be here, too.
Gosh, Doctor, I feel so superfluous.
You needn't at all. It was thoughtful of Bill to send you, and mighty nice of you to come. Briefly, what I have to tell you is this. Miss Petticoat, who was a fabulously wealthy woman, asked me to break the news to you that she has been reduced to poverty.
You're crazy. I mean, well, my Aunt Harriet is worth over $1 million.
Sold down the river, huh?
Precisely. She tells me that she's penniless now, and everything, her home, furniture, cars, why, even her clothing is to be auctioned
To pay off the debt and stock bought on margin.
Yeah. She called on you kids because she has no one else.
If you'll excuse me, I'd like to make a phone call.
All right, Frank. Right this way. I'll lead you to the telephone.
Thanks, Judy. Be right back, Carol.
Are you trying to make me believe that foolish old woman has gone through that fortune of hers?
Oh, so she's foolish all of a sudden. You heard the doctor, which summed up means that you, Roger, will really have to go to work now.
It might interest you to know that she was leaving you and Bill only $5 apiece, and the remainder to me.
Oh, I knew that. In fact, you told me yourself one time when you were in one of your nasty moods. It surprised me I was even mentioned in a will.
Oh, please, please. You're wasting time with all this wrangling. The question is, what are you going to do about your aunt?
You answer first, Roger, dear. Since you've always taken precedence.
What am I going to do? What can I do? Well, I'm certainly in no position to take on the responsibility of her. She is really broke, though. Well, I suggest that we put her in an institution. Naturally, I'll tend to things and visit her as usual, but, well, personally, I don't believe this melodramatic tale.
An egg for Easter and a candy cane for Christmas would help her a lot now.
Oh, shut up. What do you intend to do for her, Miss Coralie Dane, glittering satellite of the theater, fourth girl from the end of the back row?
Look, Roger, I'm warning you now. If you let out one peep that I'm only in the chorus, well, I'll tell Aunt Harriet that you've been secretly married for years to that girl she didn't like. You didn't know that I was in on that, did you?
You don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, don't I?
You put a pillow in that easy chair, Dr. Christian. Here comes our patient.
Well, greetings, Miss Petticoat.
How do you do, Carol? I refuse to call you Coralie. Sounds like a patent medicine.
Hello, Duchess. I used to call you that when I was a little girl, remember?
Dear Aunt Harriet, it hurts me so much to see you ill that words fail me.
Hello, Roger, dear.
Aunt Harriet, if this, well, this catastrophe is an actual fact, and I don't believe that it is, well, I cannot understand you and, well, can't imagine you investing your money carelessly. Why, Well, you'd have more consideration for me. I mean, us, your heirs, rather.
Why, you heel, criticizing Aunt Harriet for spending her own money.
You keep out of this. It means nothing to you anyway.
Oh, I guess you're Miss Petticoat, aren't you? Well, I've got great news for you. Bill, I just talked to them long distance. Bill's going to arrange for an allotment for you. That's what good old Bill would do.
Aunt Harriet, this is Private Kennedy. He's pinch-hitting for Bill who couldn't come. He's in the doghouse. His doghouse?
It's an odd expression. How do you do, young man?
How do you do?
You thank Bill for me when you see him. Tell him how relieved I am. At least I won't starve. Oh, answer that, Judy.
Yes, Miss Carol.
Tell me, Carol. You plan to go on with your stage work?
Oh, yes. I've written a play called Lady in Luck. I hope to do it if I can find an angel.
What? Did you say angel?
Oh, a backer. Someone to finance the production.
Oh.
They call such a person as that Aunt Harriet an angel.
Oh, Miss Caddicott, Mr. Henshaw is on the telephone. He didn't know that you were ill until Roger told him.
Oh, yes. Aunt Harriet, I talked with Mr. Henshaw before I came here and told him. I was so worried about you. He'll be shocked, too, to learn that you've lost your money. You see,
tell me, Roger. Do you always call my lawyer before you see me when you come to River's End?
How ridiculous. Naturally, I don't.
I'll soon find out. Excuse me while I talk with Henshaw. Bug-eyed barrister.
Tell me, Dr. Christian, is my aunt's mind, well, as sound as it should be?
I only hope that mine is half as good when I'm her age.
Oh, let's be serious, Roger. Look, you're married and have a regular home. If you'll take her in, I'll be glad to help out financially.
Don't try to be funny, Carol. Or are you bending your efforts toward comedy these days?
Watch your step, fella. I don't like your attitude. And if you don't soft-pedal your insults, well, I'll wipe up the place with you and there won't be anything left to auction off.
Oh, goodness, is that Henshaw man is stupid. He bothers me. I asked him one question, informed him of the auction, and then I hung up on him.
Auction? Then this story is really true? But I can't understand it. Why, only a while ago, Mr. Henshaw told me that your financial status is better than ever.
Oh, so you do check up with him.
Why, no, I really don't. Did he tell you that?
That was the question I asked him. He volunteered the information that you write him for reports on my finances.
Why, that double-crosser.
Don't you worry, Aunt Harriet. I'll take care of you. You're all I have left. One of these days, that angel will come along and I'll do Lady in Luck, and you and I will be on Easy Street.
Better hurry home, Roger. Let's keep your wife in suspense.
Wife? Well, how did you know? You can't...
I guess it just runs in the family to check up on each other. Goodbye, Roger. I think, in spite of my loss, I can manage to leave you a little something. $5, perhaps.
Thanks. I'll try not to squander it.
Here's your hat, Roger. He'll just about make the night train.
Goodbye, young man. Till we meet again.
Well, we better be scrambling, Frank, and see about rooms at the hotel.
Oh, say, this house is mine for a little while yet. You two go get your luggage and stay here overnight. Hotel. Oh, the idea.
Golly. Thanks, Aunt Harriet. We only have to go to the check room at the station, and then we'll come straight back.
That'll be swell.
Well, be seeing you then. Glad to have met you, Judy. And you too, Dr. Christian. Good night.
Goodbye.
Well, Miss Petticoat, how'd we do?
Oh, splendidly. But I'll pay plenty for it when you send me the bill.
Oh.
Jack of all trades. A doctor, a schemer, a witness, and an actor. What'll I be next? Well, Judy, our job is finished. Miss Petticoat, I won't leave you asleep, Miss Hatford. But you will surely want to concentrate on your new will, or, if I am not to be too inquisitive, is there to be a new one?
I'm dying of curiosity. I'm going to leave Roger a $5 gold piece I've been hoarding. It has a hole in it so I can wear it on a chain. He can wear it through his nose for all I care.
Miss Petticoat, I think you're a wicked woman with all your schemes and such. But in spite of it all, there must be a special spot in heaven reserved for you alone.
Oh. You don't have to go to heaven to be an angel. I can be one right here on earth. Thanks to Carol.
Oh, Miss Petticoat, if you mean what I think you do, you're positively swell.
To be an angel for Lady in Luck is going to be positively swell.
Uh-huh.
A new lease on life for a bored old woman. And, Doctor, about those lies you told, you were pretty cute.
Ah, that goes for you, too, Duchess.
And the curtain descends on another Dr. Christian prize play with our star, Jean Hersholt, waiting to greet you. But first, a word from Judy.
Friends, if your hands are in constant contact every day with machine oils, paint, dyes, or chemicals, or exposed to other irritants because of your work, the chances are your hands get red and sore. But they needn't be. Here's a simple way to get before and after protection. Before work, smooth your hands lightly with Vaseline petroleum jelly. Its protective film helps keep dirt and grit from grinding into the skin. Safeguards against infection. Also, it makes grime and grease much easier to remove, less likely to irritate. After washing, apply Vaseline petroleum jelly again. And this supplements the natural skin oils often removed by harsh soaps and helps promote rapid healing of little nicks and cuts. If you work hard with your hands, keep a jar or a tube of Vaseline petroleum jelly handy for before and after protection. Remember, there are many petroleum jellies on the market, but only one bears the trademark Vaseline. That trademark, owned by the Cheese Bill Manufacturing Company, is your guarantee of absolute purity. And now here is Jean Hersholt.
Thank you very much. The author of tonight's prize play is Francis Hayes of Decatur, Illinois. He's a commercial artist and copywriter, and this is her first radio script. The purpose of the annual Dr. Christian Award is to give opportunity to young writers as well as to bring writers from other fields into radio. We welcome all of you, whether you are professional or amateur, married and married alone, in the opinion of the judges, decides the choice of the place selected. The award, now being made for the fifth time, pays $2,000 for the best play submitted and from $150 to $350 for other plays chosen for presentation on the Dr. Christian program. If you care to try your luck, write for the folder of rules to Dr. Christian Award, 17 State Street, New York, 4, New York. We invite you all to join us next Wednesday evening for a new prize-winning play called Two Notes by Vernon O'Brien. And until then, I'll say good night.
Bring soothing comfort to tender chapped lips with Vaseline Lip Ice. Healing starts almost instantly. Only 10 and 25 cents at any drugstore. For quick relief, for quick healing, get Vaseline Lip Ice. The competition for the Dr. Christian Award closes April 7th, 1946. So write tonight without fail for your folder of rules to Dr. Christian Award, 17 State Street, New York 4, New York. Art Gilmore speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.